Hi, everybody. I am here with Kurt Browning. I have him locked in my hotel room.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell him where we are.
Again. I love the fact that you were saying to somebody, it happens to us all the time. I just have to fan myself. We are going to talk about Canadians. You've been
and
here.
Not in general, like not like, you know,
we're not
Halifax to Vancouver. No, we're talking specific Canadians.
You are here at Canadians.
I'm at Canadians.
I want to know, first of all.
But that's old school. It's actually the Canadian Tire National Skating Championships.
Yeah.
Because I'm the athlete ambassador.
That's
and I
true.
Had to learn how to say that. Because I still think it's Skate Canada. It should be called CFSA, Canadian Figure Skating Association. Anyways, Canadians, it was awesome.
It was, and you had a lot of fun as the athlete ambassador,
well,
I'm thinking.
They
you had
let
a lot
me
of fun.
Shoot a t-shirt cannon. So really and truly.
And you were on your skates.
And I was on my skates.
Did you hit anybody?
Oh, I hope so.
But not
hard. I heard Elvis Stoico also shot the cannon under the years, and he shot it at 90 degrees, and cotton was flying everywhere. Like, people were evaporating into a t-shirt mess. It was a lot of fun.
I have to take a picture of you in your t-shirt. It's going to be posted with this podcast. Brian and Kurt and Elvis and Jeff and Patrick, which is just adorable.
Yeah, I think they were selling these.
They are.
At the event. And I've heard it's a remake of some famous t-shirt about the Beatles,
okay.
Ringo and Paul and et cetera, et cetera. But I love it.
Do you remember the other two?
It fits me so well.
George,
and there's another one.
I forgot.
Shoot. I can't believe you went there. Do you see how like politically correct I was? I just like another.
The other two. George, Paul. It's gone.
Are you serious?
Ringo and the other guy. Well, I can't believe I can't remember either. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about the Beatles. We're talking about Canadians.
Wikipedia.
How embarrassing is that? I love the Beatles. Don't come after me. Okay. You got up to a bit of a fun. I want you to talk about your cab ride here in Ottawa.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm like this week, the athlete ambassador, his job is to be everywhere at once.
Yep.
I met tons and tons of like people, award-winning people. Like they won the Canadian Tire, the lottery draw. Who knows?
For tickets, kind of thing?
And stuff like
surprise.
That. So I was interviewing this person, being interviewed. I was out of the city at the radio station. I was everywhere, and
and TV too. You were doing local TV, weren't you?
Doing some local TV. I did a little bit of the online calling as well.
Fun!
Literally, I was like. So, like, that's why I sound like this. I've got a sexy voice.
Because I've
just been on all week, let me tell you. So, anyways, I can't catch the bus because I've missed it and I got to get there. So, I catch cab. Rob Brody, who's a writer, has been covering skating for 25,000 years.
So, we can remember Rob Brody, but not the fourth Beatle. What's wrong with this? Hey, Rob.
If the fourth Beatle would have been in the taxi,
it would have been fine.
Anyway, so I hail a cab and I'm looking at Rob and I'm going, go over to the building. And he goes, yeah. And I go, give me some. Let me give you a ride. He goes, perfect. So he gets in the cab and we're chit-chatting like you and I love to do.
Yes.
About the gossips and the things that are happening. And we get on the freeway and I'm like, wait a minute, what's that? And Rob Brody goes, why are we on a freeway?
Because it's a downtown rink.
And a beautiful rink, by the way.
It is gorgeous.
And so we're on the freeway. So, excuse me, TD Place is going to, and he swears in some language that I don't know, but I think he swore.
Could have been English.
Nope, it wasn't. and he's like, oh, downtown's right there. Sorry, I forgot. Because Corral Place, or whatever they call it lately, is out of town.
Yes.
And I'm like, look, I have a little thing called a speech to give at the opening ceremonies.
I got to be there.
In about 25 minutes. And it's supposed to be a 12-minute cab ride. So he got out and came back around. But as he's driving, he says, so you're going to the Canadian Figure Skating Championships? Yes. He goes, Oh, what's that guy who's running that thing? What's that guy's name? Yeah, the guy that's putting that on. I'm like, putting that? What the? Who's one guy is putting on the Canadian Figure Skating Championships?
A busy guy.
That's a busy. Who the heck is that? Trump? No, he's busy. I mean, I'm like, what's going on? I go, well, what do you like mean? He goes, yeah, he's a skater. He's putting on this show that's in town. He was a world champion. And so Rob Brody and I are looking at each other going, wonder who that could be. So I said, Brian Orser? He goes, no, I don't think that's him. I said, Elvis Stoico? I said, no, it sounds like some guy. Jeffrey Buttle. I said, no. I said, Victor Petrenko? And I said, Kurt Browning? And he goes, yeah, I think it's that guy. Yeah, he's putting on a show. he's running that thing. And then we're laughing backstage. I think he's there. I don't think he's running it, but I think he's there.
He's not running.
And
it,
I said, I think his voice sounds like this. He's like, are you doing an impression? I said, no, like, I think his voice really sounds like this. And I think he looks like this. So Rob Brody's finally like, that is Kurt Browning, by the way. He's like, no, it isn't. So I had to get out my ID,
and show
my
it to
athlete
him?
Ambassador ID, and show it to him, which he stared at so long that I actually said the words, please watch the road. So anyways, the next words out of his mouth, when he looked at it, he looked back and he goes, I drove you once.
That'll be conversation around the dinner table.
I drove you once. Not, oh, no, just I drove you once. Oh, okay.
Isn't that funny, eh?
There was a funny interaction.
Do you find that people don't believe you are who you are?
No. No, actually, usually it's because I think they hear my voice a lot.
Yes.
Talking to you, usually. Yep. And there's a combination of recognition that comes with face and no hair and voice. So it's a trifecta. And people then recognize you. If it's just looking at you or but sometimes I phone like Air Canada and they'll be like, yes, can I help you? Is this Kurt Browning? What?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. I
if
like
it would,
you did
if
that.
It would help, yes, it is.
I'm going to say that. I'll be Kurt Browning if it'll help.
So anyways, it was fun. It was a fun week.
Do you know that when I was in Lethbridge, so that was a year...
Skate Canada?
Last, Skate Canada a year and a half ago. So this is Lethbridge, Alberta. Not a big, big place. I ended up getting into a cab, speaking to a man who had driven you either at a Skate Canada or at a Canadians in Lethbridge. That would have gone back a while.
It was a Skate Canada.
How long ago was that?
Early 90s. And I remember that one because I was... And I knew it. I was just a step out of a jump, just stepped out a little bit, and I knew it was a 6.0 moment. I knew it. You know, the right guy at home, skating last, short program, perfect. And then triple X to triple tour, whatever it was, and I was so mad. And then the 5.9s come up. I was so mad. Because to get a 6, I didn't get a lot of 6s.
Did you not?
No, not a lot. I've had 6s, you know, enough to go, yeah, I did that. But... I was drooling over how many 6s were going to come up.
And then you had to step out.
And I screwed it up, yeah.
Well, the cab driver remembered you as a very nice man. So when you think about how long ago that was, I guess it's a lesson to us all. Be nice in the cab, because you just never know who's going to remember you being in
there. Because you just never know.
This was Lethbridge. What are the odds?
That's a good lesson in life.
Any other sort of like, when you, so I came back on the bus last night. We're just talking general Canadians and general competition and general young people. How old were you when you went to your first Canadians?
Oh, I don't know, 16 or 17, I guess, novice. And I was 12th out of 13, I think.
Oh.
And I asked my mom afterwards, because I thought I was, pretty hot stuff.
Oh, really?
And I found out later that the boy that came 13th had only been skating for 4 months. So essentially, I was last. And I looked at my mom and I said, I didn't deserve 12th.
Did I?
I didn't deserve 12.
And you had figures at the time, eh?
We had figures.
Yep.
And a short. No, I don't think we had a short. But I didn't deserve 12. She didn't really say anything. Like, not 12. She goes, I didn't say anything. She finally goes, you weren't that good.
Oh, really?
like she actually went, you weren't, maybe 12th is about right.
Wow.
And I went, oh.
Now, why didn't that break you? Why did it, like, you still competed, you went on? Because for some people, 12th would have been the ultimate in humiliation. They would have said, that's it, I'm out of here.
I won the next year.
That's a pretty good rise.
It was, I don't know, I don't remember, maybe I skated terrible. I don't remember how I skated.
Yeah.
I just remember that little interaction with my mom.
But the fact that your mom said, it's about right.
It was about right, yeah.
But you still continued to skate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some people are destroyed by that kind of thing.
I think that one of my strengths, maybe all through my, hopefully all through my whole life, is that I do take, I kind of get over things.
Mm-hmm.
Even in my personal life, off the ice, I've been kicked around a bit. We all have.
Sure.
And I kind of refuse to lose the whole day.
Good you
know,
for you.
Like if I skate bad, I feel awful, like most of us do, but I get like almost all skaters. Like I saw some skaters backstage and I just been there, man. And I hate myself actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, okay, that's punishment enough.
Move on.
Just move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snap.
Everybody
out
else has.
On. Yeah. And you know what? It's amazing that you can be expected to win the Olympic Games and you fall and you lose and you're 12th in the short program and blah, 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 blah. And then we go skiing the next day. It's like, it's really and truly, terrible things happen in the world, but the world just keeps spinning, whether you decide to spin with it or not. So that's the way I sort of rolled. And I think it's kind of a natural thing, but very handy, because figure skating is completely humiliating. Because not only in hockey you get beat, in tennis you get beat, but in figure skating you're alone out there. And you're wearing something fancy, and you're trying to show off, and you're trying to be a Spanish matador, or you know what? Like you're really putting, you're really telling a big joke that flops, and it's humiliating, you know. And it's a tough sport. It looks fun, and it's pretty, and it's shiny, and it's wonderful, but it's gut wrenching when it goes wrong. It's humiliating.
Well, and you know, it brings up an interesting point. My intuition, when I see skaters, and there were a few Canadians who had a bad day at the office.
As we call it,
What I feel as kind of a mum, it's the mum side that comes out of me, if you have a bad day at the office and you're a young person and you're walking towards me, I think I need to say, I'm sorry that didn't go your way today. Because I think when you don't, as an adult or as the grown-up or as a journalist or whatever, it makes young people, this is just my intuition, so I'm asking you what you think. It makes me feel as if young people think that she only likes me if I'm winning. She only likes me if I'm...
Well, not even likes me. You know what I hated the most was when I skated badly? It was the quiet. It was the quiet. And it was like, walk up to me and just go,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Like, okay. But man, you know, you won it this morning in practice. I know that doesn't make things better, but you're amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just can't get away with falling twice in the short program, dude.
Yeah.
Like, well, I guess you're right.
So it does make it a little bit easier if people...
You know what? I walked up to a skater who shall remain not, you know, and I just walked up and I said, well, you know, that was kind of stupid. And he goes, yeah, that was a stupid mistake. And I go, have you ever heard of a smart mistake? You know, and then he started laughing.
I was there actually for that moment.
And you just go, you're important enough as a person that I'm still going to talk to you. But I hated when I screwed up.
Yeah.
The quiet, that little buffer of, ooh, they skate well. They didn't skate well, so I can't talk to them.
And it's almost like people are embarrassed.
I didn't become a leper.
No, that's true. You know? That's exactly true.
So anyways, it's a tough, it's an interesting sport. It's so complicated. The music and the costumes, and it's kind of like life, you know, like why did somebody walk into the room and do the interview and they weren't as qualified as you and they got the job?
I know.
That's not fair, but that's life.
Yeah.
And that's what figure skating is.
And is that the best lesson that figure skating has taught you?
No, I think it's inner seam. You know, the inner seam of your leg is the length of the inner seam of your pants is really important.
I think why?
Well, because if the
fit isn't good.
There's 6 inches between what you're doing and what it's doing, it's not good. I've learned that. Because camel spin, that looks, it's like a wing. It's like a bat wing between your legs.
Okay,
it's not
speaking
good.
Of that, may I tell you, do you know Bill?
I don't know what I've learned. I just told you. Fall down and get up.
The costuming is interesting.
Costume is very interesting.
And it's very important because we saw Liam Fierce this week in the short program get distracted by a suspender that was not sewed down, that was clipped down.
And that happened to me. I immediately went back in time. I'm like, oh, I know how that guy feels.
Tell me.
Well, because I had a short program in East Indian theme.
Okay.
So I had this like leather, you know.
Scarf kind of thing?
No, like a... It was almost like armor, a fake leather beaded armor thing that sat around
like
my neck, like 4 inches thick, and it kind of sat around my neck.
Was it heavy?
I don't remember. Nothing was heavy back then. Okay. So anyways, I was in the dressing room. I'm like, Elvis, can you button me up, please? So, you know, Elvis Stoico buttoned it up wrong. So halfway through my short program, I'm getting leather slapped with beads in my face going whop, 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 during my footwork. Like, bam, this thing is like... tied
flipping
on in the
up?
Back, but it's flipping up and slapping me in the face and hitting me all around. So I'm like, just to, you know, forget about it. And I'm like, you can't forget about it. I'm like lacerating my cornea. You know, this thing's like really bad. So I grabbed it and in the choreography went, and I threw it.
Dramatically
off to the side, which wasn't a deduction back then. Because now that's a deduction. So that's why Liam actually had to stop his program, stand on 2 feet, try to do some yoga to catch the damn thing behind his back, bring it over, reattach it, and then keep going. Which, of course, you know, kind of killed the program.
Well, and it also made his timing crazy because he ended up having to jam 2 spins in at the end where only one belonged. And he was completely off time. This is what he told me. But smartly, he didn't go to the referee because had he gone to the referee and sort of had the whole program interruption, it would have cost him 5 points.
Yeah.
So
it's better to stand around and just watch everyone. This is how I put suspenders on. It wasn't cool. The whole short program was a tough day at the office for all the boys.
Okay, Bill Bridle. You know Bill? I know Bill, former competitive skater, senior, and now turned into an academic. Anyway, his mom used to make his costumes.
Because he wasn't before.
Yeah, good point. His mom made his costumes, and they were he called it the International Date to Skate in Thunder Bay or North Bay. So he would have been a prenatal man, and his mother had made him one, like a bodysuit shirt.
Oh my God, you're too fast sometimes. I gotta like rewind you to get the joke. Go ahead, keep going.
Anyway, a bodysuit.
Yep. A onesie.
And the pants. Yep. And the pants.
Yep. I loved those.
Went on top.
I felt tall in those things.
Did you?
Yeah, tall and taller.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I loved them.
Anyway, but the separate pants. Not just the onesie, but the separate pants. Anyway, his mom didn't have time to do the snaps. So she had him attach it, which attaches in the crotch, with safety pins.
Oh, the top part goes underneath and keeps tight and pulled down.
Yes, with snaps, which she didn't have a chance to do. So it got attached with
safety pins.
Well,
we've all done it.
Came undone.
Of course it did. We've all done that too.
So he was a 10-year-old boy at the boards.
Oh, poor lad.
At the boards in warm-up. In a very sort of unusual way, sort of digging into his pants and whatever. His coach is trying to figure out what on earth is going on, but he'd become de-snapped. That's all I can say.
Oh, my God.
So aside from being whacked in the head with the collar, what is your favorite social moment from when you were a competitor at Canadians? Do you remember?
What? Social moment?
Well, okay, let me give you an example. I was talking
like
to...
Like partying?
Yeah. I was trying to make it sound...
Well, Mike Slipchuk and I don't know why the junior men were after the senior men, but I think that we were lying in a snowbank talking about life as the junior men were catching the bus to their practice the next morning, watching them going by, good luck, lads! Isn't that...
Shouldn't we be...
Yeah. Yeah, we went to Tim Hortons for breakfast.
Sure we did.
Oh.
Well, it's, you know what, one of the things that are probably some of the enduring memories for skaters and why they keep coming back is the fact that this is a chance for them to be with their friends for, a better part of a week. I was talking to a team leader, and I will not divulge the information ever, so don't email me, people, but this team leader told me that they were in a particular city at a particular Canadians. This is quite a few years ago. There'd been sort of an ice storm, and some of the skaters thought it would be a swell idea to go up to the roof of the hotel and skate on the roof, mm-hmm. on the natural ice. That's not a good idea, people. But anyway.
Oh, that seems like an awesome idea.
Well, and if you're 15, it's just great. Anyway, so that's the kind of stuff that, thank goodness this team leader's never lost a skater yet, but they just, they have so much fun when they're here. They just, that last night,
it's
crazy.
It's that, it's what it is, it happens at the Olympics a lot. And you have to, you have to keep control of your youth because, I mean, all Mike and I, we were at some place and danced the night away and then went for breakfast and then we're coming back and going, oh, look at the poor junior men, they're not done yet. Oh, and the sun's up. So there was nothing bad, but...
No, there's nothing evil.
When
it's
you've been
fun.
Training for years and you're at the Olympics, that's kind of an ultimate release and athletes tend to kind of go bazonkers because it's like that pressure, the four-year stress is off and then they're surrounded by couple hundred other young, vibrant people who also have the pressure off, and it can be a fun time, but it can also be a time when you have to be smart and make good decisions.
Absolutely, everybody has to make good decisions. I want to hear one. This is the last thing I'm going to ask. One fun story with someone from another sport at the Olympics.
Don't you love when you're put on the spot like that? Okay, here we go. Another fun story, what?
A fun story from somebody from a different sport. Did you meet, friends, I'm sure?
I got a short little story, the first one that came to mind. I didn't catch his name nor understand him, but I was...
It's a theme.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, like the cab driver. But I was in Calgary at the Olympic Games.
Yep.
And with some time to kill. And in Calgary, they had a wonderful games room for the athletes.
Okay.
Like video games and fun
ping
stuff to
table.
Do, ping pong, like all that
okay.
sort of stuff. But it was dead. There was like nothing going on in there. So I'm like playing some games. I'm killing some time. And there was that classic bubble hockey game.
That
classic
tabletop.
That tabletop, but the classic one with the big see-through dome.
Okay.
And it's a yes. great game. Kind of crappy playing by yourself. But there was one other large gentleman, a Russian guy. And we're like looking at each other, and I happened to be standing on the side of the table that was Canada. On the other side of the table, it happened to be Russia. And we looked at each other, and game on. You know, so we didn't speak each other's language. He was actually, like I said, what sport? And he goes, yeah, I play hockey afterwards. And that was kind of it. I figure skate. He goes, ooh, he ran away. But I don't remember who won, but I was like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm like playing against one of the Russian hockey players, tabletop, at the Olympics. No one else around, just me and this
grudge match.
Igor dude. And it was pretty fun. It was good.
Well, you know what? I am so pleased that you were here as the athlete ambassador at Canadians, because, you know, it was a real treat for the skaters to see you, for the fans to see you. Every time I turned around, there were people who were hugging you. I'm sure you knew some of them. And the fact that it just, it's just fun. It's like coming home to family.
Yeah, I think that we as athletes, I mean, sorry, as skaters, we need to trust the people that have paid the money to buy a ticket.
Yep.
Took time out of their lives. And it can be an expectation or it can be an invitation.
Oh, and, I love that.
And I've always tried, and I learned this from my dad, I've always tried to think of the audience as friendly and welcoming and forgiving and accepting. And they'll let you know if they don't want you. Like, mm-hmm. you'll figure it out. But if you don't want them, then it's done. Because mm-hmm. there's one of you and 1,000 of them, and it starts with you. So as athlete ambassador, I kind of, like, I was just throwing myself around all over the place and having fun and, you know, stirring up the stuff. And just, like, shooting people with T-shirt cannons. And
which was your favorite part, let's face
that. That was pretty awesome. So it's, you know, if you're going to give a speech, if you're going to perform, I like to try to, you know, leave somebody with a giggle or at least let them know that I was happy that I was there.
I have one final thing. There is a, you've got a little bit of the
my beard, scruff?
The scruff going. It's sexy, Kurt.
Well, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to take a picture.
Do you really enjoy the spots in my face where I can't grow any hair? Those like dollar size holes? I tell people that's where I get hit with a whip.
Oh, I like that.
It won't grow there.
You're such a rascal.
Yeah, it was Katarina.
But I just want to challenge our listening public.
That's the story of the bar.
I want to challenge our listening public. I'm going to take a picture of you in this amazing T-shirt with the scruff.
Okay.
And they have to tweet at you whether or not you're going to shave it off.
Well, that was the plan. Over Christmas, okay. I took my sons to Alberta, and we did the whole, with my family in Alberta, we did ice fishing and, you know, campfires outside.
Did you catch
snowmobiling
ice?
Stuff. Gabriel caught more fish than anybody. It was great. And so you don't shave at Christmas.
Okay. I sure don't.
So it shows. Anyways, we you and I go back way too far to be talking in public. So anyways, I got home to Toronto and I just looked and went, well, you know what? I'm just going to leave it. And then I'll have to, I had this plan that I was going to address the audience and say, do you want your athlete ambassador clean shaven or not? And tweet out and have some fun. But the situation didn't really present itself in a casual manner
until now.
So I didn't really get to address the audience. So you want what? They're going to tweet you and ask if I should shave?
They might tweet you at Kurt Browning. I'm not sure. At Kurt Browning. I said it again. Anyway, it's just for fun. You look adorable anywhere.
I don't look at my, like, I don't, oh, I don't twit. I'm not a twit guy.
You are when I tell you to.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's true. You will be, you'll hound me going, are you shaving? I'm like, oh yeah, I'll check.
Anyway, it's going to be hashtag should Kurt shave. I'll start it.
Okay, so you're gonna lead the way.
I'll manage it. Don't worry. Social media maven.
Are you gonna say it out loud right now?
Should Kurt shave? Hashtag.
No. What's your opinion?
Oh, you look adorable.
So don't shave my back.
Let's see the dollar size hole. Maybe.
I know, right? It's pretty bad. I know what I'm. I know. You know. We'll see. Maybe I need to ask. You know, somebody who actually.
Does this kind of stuff?
No, who actually gets close enough to figure out that it's
an
issue.
Ooh, that's for another podcast.
All right, bye.
Thanks, guys.